Hey, this is Gary.
This is Mike.
And Daniel. We're not professionals. We're just three addicts sharing our experiences, strength, and hope regarding recovery.
Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other addicts and to practice these principles in our lives.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the 12th Step Podcast. My name is Gary.
And this is Mike.
And this is Daniel.
And joining us tonight is...
Isaac.
Yeah, we have Isaac back, and we're gonna answer a listener's email, and we're gonna have a nice discussion about it. I've got a special treat for you tonight, guys.
All right,
This particular email, and I'm gonna go somewhere with this. So,
okay.
This particular email comes from a listener. His name is Eric, and this is what he sent.
By the way, Gary is very excited about this email.
I'm very excited about this email. All right.
He's not the only one.
Yeah.
No.
All right. It says, 12th Step Podcast. My name is Eric. I hail from North Carolina, and I have been listening to your podcast for some time now. Let me be the first to say thank you for the work that you gentlemen do. It is hard to find a show ran by addicts for addicts. Many of the addiction recovery podcasts out there are therapists, betrayed partners, or a combination of therapists, addicts, and partners. Yours has been the first that I have found that are three fellow addicts wanting to help their fellow man or woman. As I said, I have been listening for some time now, and I have noticed that many of the listeners reach out for help, which is wonderful, and a testament to the work that you three have been doing. However, I have noticed that they rarely do those same individuals reach back out to you, despite you asking for them to check back in. Knowing how I would react, that has been very disheartening. It is because of this that I felt the need to write you and let you know how instrumental your words have been to me and become part of my recovery. And I would not be where I am today without it. It is great to hear from you and your stories and your advice. All three of you speak with experiences from your experience, both good and bad. And it is great to know that by doing the next right thing, being humble and doing the work, I will find peace and happiness in recovery. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for the example you are. And thank you for continuing to do the work. Eric.
I'm going to say something. It's really nice how he slipped all of our end tags into that.
Yeah, that was really cool. All right. Now, I know at first glance it might seem a little bit self-serving that I would like to read this over the air just so that all of our listeners can hear how awesome we are. Do you know recovery offers gifts, and you've got to be constantly looking for them?
Yes.
And the reality of it is everybody out there, we absolutely love getting your messages and your emails and your questions and you sharing your stories and your struggles and things like that. And by all means, continue to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But we were having, in the interest of full disclosure, we were having a conversation about, you know, we had answered so many of these listeners' emails, and I said,
and some of them
have been really heavy, you know, mm-hmm. and we're really concerned about you guys. But I thought, man, the tone of the podcast has just been heavy of late. And I was really hoping to find a way to give a message of hope too, you know, because it can be a little disheartening if you kind of get stuck in the mire of just, I'm trying to say this,
sure,
right,
because
I don't want to discourage anybody, because we're absolutely willing to walk through mm-hmm. that with you, because that's what we're here for. So, in fact, that was one of the reasons when Isaac came into my work, you know, he saw me working, and he came in, and he looked so bright, and I hadn't talked to him in a while, and we started chatting, and I said, that's it, we need to get him on the podcast and let him share his story and let him share some of his success so that everybody out there knows that this stuff really works. It really does.
Yeah, right.
You know, and if you work it, your life is going to get better. It'll probably not be what you think it's going to be. It'll take you in places that you're not going to go. But
that's certainly true.
To have Eric in such a timely manner get the email that I needed to hear was a gift of recovery for
right.
me. And
yeah.
I loved it. It was encouraging. And you know, that's really one of the gifts that the 12th Step Promise offers. You know, you get to to get to witness the miracle of not only your own life, but others too, you know?
I would echo those same sentiments. I was thinking the day this text came in of, I'm reflecting on where I was at that particular time, and I needed a boost. I needed a boost. And so it came in at a very timely moment for me as well, because I had been reflecting on our podcast and thinking, wow, some of these things that we're dealing with are really, really heavy stuff. And witnessing another person's recovery has always been a helpful thing for me. Seeing people work through their own challenges and seeing them come out on the other end has always been a positive thing for me, and I've always included that as part of my own recovery. Mm-hmm. But then to have someone say, "You're really making a difference for me," made all the difference in the world for me on that day. So yeah, the timeliness of it was very, very helpful. So thank you, Eric. I really appreciate it.
I mean, we're definitely not doing this for the accolades. You know, we're not doing it for money.
Mike is.
Yeah.
Okay, I am.
Okay.
No.
You know, but, thanks, Isaac. You know, and we take every email we get seriously. We, you know, even the topics when we talk about them, and we're not, because we don't have an email or something like that. We do this because we think it'll help.
And we want
and
to
we
help.
Put it out there, you know, and it's kind of this weird thing where we talk about something, we talk about the email, we put it out there, but we never know what happens with that information. Yeah. You know, when you're working with a sponsee, you talk with them, you pretty much know fairly quickly, you know, whether they took that advice or not, you know. So there's almost some response back where you know what you've done. But in the case of this podcast, we don't. I mean, we see that there are more and more people listening, which is fantastic, but we never really kind of get that positive feedback, right, at least for us. So it's really nice getting this feedback to know. And you know, we sometimes hear it here and there because we'll run into someone, you know, at the 12-step group or at if we're mentoring the program we've been through, and they'll talk about it and say those. And that's nice, but it's, at least for me, it seems so much sweeter, the reward, when it's from someone we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's more, I don't want to say it's more genuine, but it kind of, for at least me, it feels that way, because friends and family, they normally kind of give you that, oh yeah, you know, it's great, you're doing a great job. But to hear someone else saying, wow, you are instrumental in my life, the things you guys say, the things you share, because I mean, we've all shared some really vulnerable things.
Some heavy things.
And some heavy things.
Yeah. A lot of our listeners.
Yeah. And to hear that, to say back that, wow, because of the pain you've been through, the struggles you've been through, that has helped me. At least for me, it's amazing.
Yeah.
He made an observation that I think is relevant. He pointed out that we're the only podcast that he's aware of, at least that he's experienced to this point, that is just addicts. Everything else is counselor, you know, all of the other,
yeah, some sort of combination,
the
yeah,
combinations that are out there. And I thought that was interesting, that that may not necessarily be the flair for everybody to have. Maybe they're interested in what the counselor's perspective on something, but
yeah,
this literally is by addicts for addicts.
Yep.
And that's resonated with him, and I appreciated that.
Yep.
I believe that's really important what you just pointed out, Mike, and I appreciate the work that you guys are doing, because it plays into, you know, some of the concepts that we've discussed earlier, that like, you guys are my tribe,
right?
Yeah.
I can sit here, I can look at all of you guys, all three of you, and you guys, we know, right? We get it. We've right. been there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say that like a betrayed spouse or a therapist doesn't, right? Like, but it's just different when you're sitting with your people.
Mm. We've walked in the same shoes, through the same mud,
yeah,
on the same footpath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. That really is a big deal. It makes so consequently, when Eric makes that comment, it strikes a chord with me, simply because I relate to that. I relate to that. I know what my own experience has been when I've attended an SAA group or attended another group where it's just addicts who are sharing really some really difficult, hardcore stuff. And somehow, some way, we all relate to that. We understand it. We feel it. We feel it differently than when we were sitting with a counselor. So that's a great point from him. I love that. And I'm really okay with the fact that he's from North Carolina. He's probably a Tar Heels fan. I'm okay with that.
Oh, are we going to do this again?
No. My goodness. We rarely hear any sports stuff from this guy, and now he's like dished it out in three different episodes.
I'm way okay with that. So he'll probably write back and say he's somebody else's fan.
This is a new side of Mike I've never seen.
No. Yeah, what if he's a Duke fan, Mike? I think you're in real trouble then.
That would be difficult for me. That would be difficult.
If that's the case, I apologize on Mike's behalf.
I don't know if he knows this or not, and I'll tell you why this is relevant, because the University of North Carolina is sitting on family property.
Mm.
My family donated land for the University of North Carolina. So anyway, that's...
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so it's... When he said he's from North Carolina, I lit up. I was like, hey, I know something about that. That's...
You're just digging this hole. Even if he's a Duke fan, he wants to bury your family.
Exactly.
I'm gonna go find their graves.
The other thing that I love about this, and like I said, I really, really do appreciate the sentiment. And you know what? It did find a home. You know when?
Yeah.
In fact, okay. Maybe I shouldn't. No, I will. All right. Daniel forwards the emails to us.
Yes.
You know, and so I got it and I looked at it, and there was a moment where I thought, okay, I need to brace myself for whatever yes. this is going to be.
Because that generally is what happens.
you know, and because the reality of it is that I feel a tremendous amount of empathy.
Yes.
For our listeners. And you know, they send us, you know, you guys send us your stuff, and I read through it and I think, oh man, I remember what it was like to be there. I remember right. what that felt like. I remember how much that hurt, you know, and then my heart goes out and I think, what things can I say or what can I do, you know, that might touch this person in a way that's going to be helpful.
Well, and a lot of time when they're reaching out, they're in this moment of pain
yeah.
and sorrow
yeah,
and that they feel like, this is maybe a last ditch attempt yeah. trying to find some help.
And you can just imagine that it takes so much strength and effort to reach out like that.
Yeah.
You know? So to have that kind of be the expectation and then look at this and start reading it and then have to double take it. You know what I mean?
Because it was all positive and kind. And,
you know, it was a gift.
It was.
Yeah. It really was a gift. And I think that one of the secrets to recovery is to really, as you're going through life, to always ask yourself, what can I learn from what it is I'm experiencing or what I'm going through right now? And then to always be looking for the gifts, you know? And I one of my favorite things to say when we're prepping for to do the podcast or we have a guest on, you know, just go ahead and say, cause you never know when you're going to say something that somebody will never forget,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, you know, this was one of those moments where it was like, oh, you know, this person's doing their 12 step work.
Right.
You know, they're reaching out. They're, you know, and that was no small thing, you know, and that found a home in that moment. And it was my therapist likes to call them God moments where, you know, you just, and suddenly it's like, oh man, everything's worth it. You know, and so Eric, you said something that I will never forget.
Right.
You know, and I'm really, really grateful for that.
Well, I mean, So another thing I've noticed, I'm just sitting here, our energy is different. It has been for the last three recordings. If you don't know, we sit together and we record several together, but I feel like the energy's been different. We've been a lot more joyous. We've poked a lot more fun at each other. And not saying that all the other times it's been bad, it's just, you know, we're dealing with these heavy topics, and so our energy is weighed down by that because we know how serious it is. You know, and I think this message of, wow, you guys are helping so much is kind of buoyed us up to the surface where we're feeling a little bit more joyful and excited that what we're doing is impacting others.
Well, yeah. And I really like the message of hope that this brought. And I hope that all of our listeners are getting that too. You know, that there really is light at the end of the tunnel and life actually is very good.
Yes.
You know,
right.
You got to learn to take it on its terms, and you're always going to have things to deal with and overcome. But quite honestly, you know, life's never been better, and it's, you got to look for those gifts, and this was a gift.
Yes.
It's a privilege to, one of the things I think he's discovered, one of the things he's finding is that when I do the work, right, mm-hmm. I think that's sort of the the message here is that when I focus on recovery, when I do work, mm-hmm. which I think is the message that Isaac has shared with us in the
yes.
episodes mm-hmm. even previously, that when I do the work, I can find peace. I can find good days. I can see the gifts in things. My view changes. And I think that's a powerful message of hope. That's yeah. a great message that he shares. So,
yeah.
very good.
I mean, I really hope that our listeners, not only after hearing Isaac's story, you know, the mm-hmm. both parts of that, and then hearing what Eric has said, that they can come away having this really big sense of hope that even though I'm in a dark time now, if I can commit to doing this, be intentional in what I'm doing, one day it's going to get better. And the day after that, it's going to be better than that day. And then it's going to get better that the next day after that.
Do you know, I was on my way to my first 12-step meeting, and the guy that was taking me looked at me, and he said, "Oh, you're just dying inside, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, I really am." And he says, "Hey," he says, "where you are now, I once was, you know, and where I am now, you can be." He says, "You remember that and you hang on to that, you know." And I did. And I remember being in one of Shane's meetings, and this was years later, and I was mentoring it. And Shane said, "You see this guy right here? He's been where you are now, and you could be where he is." And that was, it was nice, but oh God, guys, this stuff really works, and it makes all the difference in the world. You know, I love the message that Isaac reiterated in his story, that he made a decision. I'm done with this, whatever it takes. I'm going to, you know, I don't care what other people think. I'm not doing it for them. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be the very best that I can. And then just to hear a story about how everything began to fall into place.
Yeah.
And the reason I love that so much is because, you know, he can tell his story, and then it reminds me of mine, and that, you know, that same kind of a journey, and it reiterates and strengthens that. And that's really the whole 12th step thing. You know, once you've received that spiritual enlightenment, you got to share that. You got to give that away in order to keep it. And this is, it's been a really nice night of recording, guys. Yeah, it's been really nice.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you shared that experience of going to your first 12-step group, Gary. And here's why. Because I remember in one of my very first group recovery therapy sessions, when you were a mentor in that group, I opened up and became a little bit vulnerable and shared about where I was and some of the things that I was feeling and things that had happened to me in my life, thinking, again, nobody knows, I've got it worse than everybody.
Yeah. Right.
And I remember you leaned forward from the table and said, "I've been there. I know it. I've been where you are." And that made a world of, that seriously, Gary, that's one of the few things at the beginning of my recovery that really sold me on, okay, I got to work through this, and I got to do it through a group, and I've got to reach out to people, and I've got to find connection, because that was really special for me.
Yeah. I was just sitting here as I was listening to him talk. I was thinking about you and I attending our very first SA meeting together. You and I had gone that first time. We were talking about creating a group, and we headed on to, I think we had to drive 20 miles to go to this meeting, and I remember walking in there going, "Oh, I just hate this." But go with a friend, right? That's what we had done.
Mm-hmm.
Isaac and I went together, and then we came out of that and said, "I will never."
I don't think you could have handpicked two worse individuals. Like, if Mike was going to go by, for your first time, you should have gone with somebody else, and I should have gone with somebody else. We were the worst people.
No, that was perfect.
So we said, "I will kismet. Never." Well, then the interesting thing was is that we had, we'd gone to lunch. You and I got together for lunch one day after that. And right in the middle of that, I think I'd conveyed to you that I felt like my recovery had sort of stagnated.
Mm-hmm.
I'd hit a plateau, that things weren't going as well. And I reached out to, after I left lunch with you, I think I hopped on the phone with Gary and said, "I just had lunch with Isaac, and I feel like my recovery's in this we've plateaued. We're just kind of in this place. And you said, well, you know what that means, don't you? And I said, no, what does it mean? And then I went, oh, you want to start an SAA program. And that was the emphasis.
Yeah.
That was the impetus. That was the genesis of our, okay, let's do this.
I love hanging out with Mike in recovery situations.
Anytime he says, heck no.
I will never do that. I thought, all right, I'm going to start making plans because this is what's coming
next.
That's
the compass point that says that's where you need to go.
I still remember that. Where we were so adamant, like,
not only no, but hell no.
This place sucks. I'm not doing that. That's ridiculous.
And then the next thing you know, both of us are heavily involved in creating the group and getting involved with making that all kind of run.
And just so you know, he said the same thing about podcasting.
Yeah. he says the same thing about every part of his recovery. I think it's great. I think it's cute.
Eric, if you were here, you'd see me flipping them all off, right?
That's our badge of honor.
Yeah.
There's our gold star for the night.
There's the gold star for
I just thought up. So it was interesting when he started talking and started heading down that path. Those are the memories that came back for me. So that was really interesting. I'd have to describe those as tender moments. Those are moments that have over my recovery that they were funny and difficult at the time, but now that I think back on them, they were positive milestones in my recovery.
But I mean, even that milestone, look at the number of people you have affected and changed their lives because of that decision.
Do you know the 12-step group that we started has now
there's split three groups split, and split. They're about ready to split to a fourth.
Oh my word. That's great.
They're replicating and rabbits.
It's created a life all of its own.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. You know
what I mean? It is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who would have thought when we piled up in the pilot and drove down Mike's office?
I know, right?
Sat around the conference room, and then I think we contacted the sponsoring organization.
Yeah,
and said,
good
hey,
times.
How do we do this? Yeah. Let me walk you through it.
Well, I think that adds to everything we've all been saying of just, man, you just got to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, it's a true story.
And it'll take you places you don't think you're going to go.
It seemed impossible that we would start our own, go to a 12-step group, let alone start our own.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Right.
You just got to do it. And every time I've made that decision, I've realized that it was really an easy decision. And the work that followed after making that decision was always so much easier than I thought it was going to be.
And meaningful.
Yeah.
But I mean, every addict, ourselves included, felt the same way. I'm the only one with this. No one else out there knows it. And then we step through that door, other people start talking, and then it dawns on us, I'm not. And these are people that can understand everything.
Yeah.
And it's just the sense of peace descends on you.
I'll tell you something else that's been impressive to see is all those things that were so big and scary early on,
mm-hmm.
partly was because I think we were taking the whole elephant bite
of thing,
right? Interestingly enough is that when we needed to make the next step, when we needed to get to the next place, we were always prepared at that moment in time just mm-hmm. prior to that happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like the work that you had done prior to was preparing you for the next.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And it builds on each other. And I think when we walked in that meeting the first time, it was so overwhelming. And we couldn't imagine that we'd be a part of anything whatsoever, but it opened a doorway. And then some of the work that we had done in the interim prepared us for the point in time when I think you approached us and said, hey, I think we need to start a group. And I think that all brought us to the place at that moment that, okay, this makes some sense. Whereas at the moment in time we were walking in that night, there was no way that was going to happen. It just was not going to happen. And so it's been that way all the way along in my recovery. It's that you arrive at that point, that jumping off place, okay, it's time to move to the next place. I plateaued. It's time to move to the next spot. That's the miracle of recovery.
Yeah. It does give you that feeling like you're always going uphill. But you do need to turn around and see where you've been, you know what I mean? And enjoy that.
Right.
That's been another nice thing about this episode, actually. This has been a really nice turn around and see where we've been kind of a thing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
God, life is good.
Yep.
Life is good.
You know, they say about every so many minutes in a conversation, there's like this natural lull. Do you guys want to just enjoy some companionable silence? You know, dead air is really popular in these kind of formats.
You know, even if we have dead air, I can cut it out.
Oh, dang it.
Or I can leave it in.
Any thoughts?
I don't have any.
I'm really appreciative of this message. You know, like you said, we've been dealing with a lot of heavy stuff. Which we still enjoy those.
Sure.
We still want to help. But it's nice every now and then to get some positive feedback. You know, we have put it out there, like Eric said. We would love to hear back from the people we've helped. You know, and it's okay. Maybe they're not willing to do that. And that's okay if you don't feel that way.
And it's okay if
way.
You're still struggling too, yeah. You know.
And if you're still struggling, it's okay to reach back out to us and say, man, I'm still struggling. We're not going to...
Because we've been there too.
Yeah, we're not going to throw stones. But... We want to hear back, not because it gives us any props. We just genuinely care and want to know where you're at.
Yeah.
And we love hearing those stories. So
I always love hearing from anybody. I consider it a gift.
It is.
Anytime anybody writes in. I really do. I think that's a gift because somebody else's story just bolsters my own recovery.
Yeah.
When I hear their struggles, I hear their faith, I hear their concerns, I hear their desire to do and be better. All of that stuff bolsters my own recovery. However lighthearted or heavy or whatever, I'm very appreciative of anybody that writes us. And I know that that's a, that's a big deal. That's a big deal.
It is.
Do you know, even when we do get the heavy emails, that's still a vote of confidence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's still, I don't know if this is exactly the way to say it, but it's kind of a compliment saying, you know, here, you know, I think you guys have something that can help. Yeah. What do you think?
You know? I think you guys are providing a really great service in the sense that, like, I just, as you guys have been talking about this concept of writing in and being able to discuss concerns or questions from other addicts, like, man, I think, man, how awesome. What would my recovery have looked like had I been able to be on the other end listening to you guys?
Yeah.
Feeling, you know, a part of me likes to believe that I would feel confident and good enough to put it all out there in an email, and maybe it would have been different for me, Like if I could have emailed you guys everything and said, look, I'm having these problems, this is a bit of my story, what would, you know, if for nothing else, being totally honest, for once in my life, right?
Yeah.
So I would, you know, I would encourage anybody who listens to the podcast to, if you don't feel like you can tell somebody, anybody else in your immediate circle right now, you can feel free to give Mike an email.
Yeah. There we go. I'll tell you the emails that have been the most difficult for me is the spouse of an addict. Those have been... Those have been the most challenging for me because it's made me completely aware of just how obtuse I think I've been in my own relationship with my spouse over the years. I've said some things and done some things that I'm just absolutely embarrassed about. And so to hear it from the spouse of an addict really drives home to me just how disconnected I think I've been. And I'm in, and it's been painful. Yeah. It really has been painful.
But that perspective is such a gift to have.
It is.
You know, that you gain that as a result. I think I've gained something significant from everybody that's written in. There's always been a part of every one of those that has made me think and you know, feel feelings of empathy or gratitude or
I mean, we've gotten some really spectacular emails. I mean, we've gotten not only from addicts and betrayed partners, but we've also got some from betrayed partners that have actually admitted they messed up.
Yeah.
Which was really interesting. We've had addicts say, hey, you know, we had that one that said, yeah, my therapist said you need to listen to 10 episodes at least, which was weird.
I've never been prescribed before.
I know. Right? but that was their thing is to, hey, you need to listen to these guys, listen to at least 10 of these. And then come back, and then we can talk about things. So that one was an interesting perspective. We've had people that have reached out in kind of in their darkest places. We've had some that are really not known if they're addicts or not because they're listening to other people, mm-hmm. you know, and just saying, is this real? Because they're questioning even what other people are telling them. So we've kind of had this weird gamut of questions, which has been fantastic over the run of our podcast. But each and every one we take serious. Each and every one we ponder on quite a bit before we jump behind the mic. And we're grateful for each and every one of these. So for the listeners out there that have not yet emailed because they're afraid, you know, take the leap, take the chance. These other people have. For those that have, you know, we'd love to hear back from you. And if you're, you know, if you're not in any of those categories and you're enjoying the podcast, you know, keep listening, share it, let other people know about it that you know are struggling and hurting, because clearly it sounds like we are helping. And we want to help as many people as we can.
Well said.
And like us on social media.
Yes, yes. You can find us on social media as well.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I should probably manage that better.
Didn't want to, you know.
Well, maybe now you know what the next right thing to do is.
Yep, I do. I just need a pencil and some time from the day job to
there
do that.
There you go.
I should probably manage that better. Isn't that spoken like a true addict?
Yep.
I know, right? You know what? I could help out.
I need to get that under control.
You know, we have all, we always have spinning plates.
Don't do, but there is no try or something like that. You're for that.
That's why I didn't say I'll try doing it. I'm like, I should probably do that better. Yep. Do or do not. There is no try.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
thank you, Eric. Thank you.
Thank
this
you,
has
Eric.
Been a great gift
that,
from you.
That one found a home. That was nice.
Yes.
Yeah, very much so.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank our special guest, Isaac. He was a lot of fun. He might be a recurring character.
Character? Guest?
Guest?
There we go. I like guest, not character.
You can call me whatever you want as long as I don't have to sit next to Mike anymore.
So I think next time we get him. So there's a great game that has like this blow up club.
Oh,
we
yeah.
Just give it to Isaac. And anytime Mike says anything, just whacks him. It's like whack a Mike. There we go.
Whack a Mike. Mike, have I taken the time yet today to tell you you're one of my favorite people?
Yeah, we love you.
All right. Well, with that, thank you, everybody. We appreciate you sharing this experience with us, and we look forward to having you on the next episode, or hearing from you on the next episode. Until then, this is Gary saying, do the next right thing.
And this is Mike saying, do the work to find the peace that your recovery can bring.
And this is Daniel saying, find the humility in your recovery.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you like this episode, please give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find us.
As a fellowship of recovering addicts, Sex Addicts Anonymous offers a message of hope to anyone who suffers from sex addiction. Check out saa-recovery.org.